Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast. Today's guest is Sarah Smith. Sarah's latest book is Simmer Down that is out this week. In this episode, my friend Kalisa joined us to chat with Sarah about her writing process, her books, and of course, some random book recommendations. Now let's go to the interview. Hi, Sarah. Welcome to the Retro Remix podcast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
So happy to have you here. So before we get started, I want to introduce Kalisa. She's been on the show, but she's joining me to interview Sarah because she's a super fan. Hi, Kalisa.
Hi. So excited.
This is going to be so much fun. We're just a bookish conversation among friends and about great books. So awesome. So Sarah, tell us what you've been up to this past year.
So a lot of stuff. Last October is when my first book, Faker, came out. And since then, I have just been writing a lot and working on a lot of different things. I self-published a romance novella, If You Never Come Back, earlier this summer. And then I wrote Simmer Down earlier this year and have been revising it, working on it with my publisher. And Simmer Down comes out on October 13th. So I'm really, really excited about that. And between those projects, I've just kind of been working on some other projects that I'll hopefully be able to talk about soon, but like I can't talk about them right now because we're still in the middle of finalizing things, which is super annoying, but like, yeah, that's what it is. But yeah, other than that, I've just been kind of trying to survive 2020 in one piece.
I know. I feel like I think the three of us have been trying to survive the pandemic and the dumpster fire of what 2020 looks like, you know? Yeah. I think something bad happens, so like something worse happens.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just trying to like, just like with everybody else, just trying to keep together and not freak out, I guess, all the time.
I love this.
I have to say that I read Simmer Down in June and it was like a really stressful time for me. And I just like dove into it and it was perfect. I spent like the whole time like smiling as I was reading it and I was just, I loved it so much.
Oh my gosh. Thank you, Kalisa, for saying that. That's so nice. That's like the best compliment I could ever get. And thank you for choosing to read my book when you're going through a hard time. That means a lot. And I hope everything's okay.
Oh yeah. No, it was before my husband had surgery. So I was just very stressed out, but I needed to escape to Maui with food trucks.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. It's writing that was kind of an escape for me. So I'm so glad it could be an escape for other people too.
So what inspired you to write Simmer Down with that setting? Cause I feel like it's very specific, but it's also like really unique.
Yeah, so I've always wanted to write a romance rom-com where there's like a really big food element because I love food so much. I mean, I know everybody loves food, but I love food so much. I'm like obsessed with food and I'm always hungry all the time. And I also like Maui is just a really beautiful place, I think, and it's one of my favorite places to travel and I mean, like you were saying, you know, 2020 has just kind of been like a tough year. So it was just kind of a way for me to escape by writing about food I love and writing in a place that I love that I can't go right now. And I also always wanted to write a romance involving a love interest with like a hot British English accent. So that's pretty much just how it came about, honestly.
I love it. I thought it was perfect. I'm also very, I'm a fourth Filipino, so I'm like, yes, lumpia.
Oh, yay. That's awesome.
I was also like, yes, fish and chips.
Yes. Like all the fried food, all the comfort food that like I I can't eat all the time that I wish I could. Yeah, that was, is just a culmination of all of that. Yeah.
I love this. So we're going to talk about Faker too. So how did you come up with Emmy's Job? And what was the source of inspiration for Faker?
Yeah, I took Emmy's Job from my real life. My old job before I moved to where I am now and before I started writing books, it was at a power tool distribution company. And I wrote product descriptions. And I honestly just made that be her job because I already knew a lot about it and I didn't want to like research a whole nother job. I was too lazy. So that's not a very exciting answer, but.
No, but I think it's exciting because it's like, it's a niche enough job that you don't think about it. You don't read. And yet at the same time, you already know what it looks like. So
yeah, like, exactly.
Win-win, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So.
All right. And then my next question, this one I wrote very specifically with a character in mind.
Oh,
would you ever decide to write like a series? Because you write a lot of standalones, but I feel like in every one of your books I've read, there's a character that I'm like, do they get a happily ever after? I want to see their book.
Yeah, I absolutely would love to do a series. And I actually, can I ask you, what character do you have in mind?
So first, I feel like in every book I've had, I'm terrible at names, but in If You Never Come Back, her cousin.
Oh, yeah.
And then in Simmer Down, I know her name because I love her, Penelope.
Oh, that makes me so happy. Yeah, I've had multiple people who've read both books asking like, oh, what about their stories? And I haven't thought about doing them specifically, but that would be really fun. Like now I have some plot bunnies and hopefully I can do something with them. but yeah, I would love to do a series. I am working on a romance rom-com series right now that's it's set in San Francisco and the main characters are all 30-something Filipino-American women who are all like best friends or cousins and they're just kind of navigating their life and love life in the Bay Area. And actually the first book in the series is I'm done writing it and I just need a publisher to like give me a book deal so I can get it out in the world. So I would really like to do that. Yeah.
Oh, that makes me so excited. I really hope that comes to fruition because I want to read it.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. I hope it does too.
Me too. Oh my gosh, I'm excited. So what's your favorite trope to read and favorite trope to write?
Yeah. So probably no surprise there. Enemies to lovers. There's just something so addictive to me about that instant conflict and the tension between the main characters and how it eventually evolves into passion and love. Like, it's my catnip and I love it so, so much. And I am trying to write other tropes, like that, the series I just mentioned, the one that I'm working on, like that's a couple of different other tropes, but I still like, I'm like, oh, but what about like the banter? What about like them hating each other? Like sneaking, you know, looks at each other when they like, they're hating and brooding at each other. And it's hard to not put that in everything that I write because I just love it so much.
But I mean, you could also very much be like, okay, here's a marriage of convenience. I say that because it's my favorite, but then you could be like, but they also hate each other.
Ah, that's a really good idea. Yeah, I haven't even thought about that. That's a really good idea. Yeah, because then that would even add even more tension.
Mm-hmm. Then there's like that forced proximity element too.
Yeah, I love that. I love
that. I agree. I'm like forced proximity when they hate each other. You're like, it's like the perfect petri dish. For perfection.
Yeah, Laura and I have like the same, like we like the same tropes. So I'm like, yes. So what are some of your, like, what are some other Filipina authors that you love and that, you know, they just write great characters? Cause that's one of my favorite things about your books is that I don't really feel like I've seen a lot. No, coming from somebody who's only a fourth Filipina, I'm like, I know like this much of it. I like know a little bit.
But right.
I just love seeing characters that like I see things that I know and I can identify with.
Yeah, that's I'm fortunate that I've been able to. I've done a couple events with a couple of other Filipino authors. And one of them is Tiff Marcello, and she has this great series called the Journey to the Heart series. And the first book in that series is called North to You, and that's actually a food truck restaurant romance, and it's so good. It's like sweet and heartfelt and swoon-worthy, and there's lots of really yummy food descriptions, and there's like the family element is really important in that one too, and that's such a good book with great characters, highly recommend. Another Filipino author that I love is Maida Malby, and she wrote the Carpe Diem Chronicles series, and that one is, it's so steamy and it's so funny and it's really emotional too. The first book in that series, I think it's the first book, it's called Boracay Vows. And it's about a woman who has this super hot secret affair with her boss at this gorgeous resort in Boracay in the Philippines. Because the main character, she's turning 32 and she wants to go big for her birthday. So she gives into her attraction to her boss. And it's just totally off the charts dynamite, and it has really, really yummy food descriptions too. So yeah, those are a couple authors who I love their books, and I've also been lucky enough that I've gotten to meet them in person before all of this stuff with pandemic happened, and I've gotten to do a couple of author events with them, and that they're great. I can't recommend them enough.
Okay, that makes me really excited because I love Tiff Marcello's books. Her books are excellent, but I do not have that other one on my TBR and I need it.
Okay, yeah, it's very like, obviously like a lot of stuff that I write about, like, and you know, like getting together with your boss, maybe not the greatest idea in real life, but like in the context of a romance, I think that's like so, it's like catnip, like yes, it's like forbidden, super hot. And yeah, it's so good.
This is awesome. So what's the inspiration for your novella? What made you decide to self-publish? The novella's a little heavier, more angstier than your other two books.
Yeah, so, okay, so my inspiration is probably a little weird, but I don't know if you guys know that song by Dan and Shay, Tequila? It came out a couple years ago. And okay, so there, it's this really, really sweet, angsty, heartfelt song. About how, like, about a couple who was together and like they broke up, but every time they have like tequila, that's like what reminds them of each other. So I remember watching that music video, and it's like an amazing music video. Like, it reminded me of like a movie or something. And it just like, I had such a great emotional response to it that I'm like, I wonder if I can write something that's similar in angst and romance. And I hadn't done a second chance romance before, and I thought it would be really fun to do that. So so that's what inspired me to see if I could write something in a similar vein. And then I self-published it because I just really wanted to see what it was like to have like full control over every aspect of the publishing process, like everything from the cover to revisions to editing to marketing, all that stuff. Just because as much as I enjoy traditional publishing, you don't have total control of that entire process. Your publisher does, which is fine. Like that's how it's structured. But, being that I self-published, if you never come back, I could essentially do whatever I wanted. So I could, explore themes that were a little bit heavier than what I've written about previously. And it was also really satisfying to me to have that freedom to do just whatever I wanted and no one could tell me no. And I've never had that control before. So that was really, really exciting for me. And hopefully I'll be able to self-publish more books in the future because I really enjoyed it so much.
This is exciting. I love it.
Yeah. And I feel like because I read the novella and then I read Simmer Down. So I read it in between the two. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, girl, the angst. Because I'm not a big novella reader, but I felt like that one, I couldn't put it down. I'm also not a big angst reader, but I was just so sucked in. And I will say every single one of your books has made me cry for one reason or another.
Oh my gosh.
And that one, I was just like, oh my God, it's so angsty, but I loved it. I loved the side characters. I just, yeah, you should definitely self-publish some more angsty stuff.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, one, I'm sorry for making you cry. Like, I don't ever want to make anybody cry.
I cry really easily. So that doesn't really say much, but I cried for different reasons.
Okay.
The books.
Okay. That, and I thank you. And thank you so much for like giving it a chance. Cause I know it is kind of like hard to sometimes to go out of like what you like reading and to try something else. Cause you know, we don't, our time is limited. Everybody's time is limited and it's hard to make time for everything. So I really appreciate you doing that. And I'm, yeah, there's a lot, there was definitely a lot of angst and I just thought it was fun to like go there because I've never gone there before. And I don't know, we'll see how, I have a couple of ideas of like where I want to go with other stuff and we'll see if it gets as angsty as that one did. I don't know.
I loved it. It was a great, that was also a great escape because I read that one in May, just when everything was just crazy. And I was like, yes, I need this angsty escape.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think, yeah, it's definitely an escape. I'm so glad it could be like that for you.
So especially in that one, I mean, in all your books, I feel like the family plays such an important role, like the extended family, the moms, the dads, you know, the cousins, because we're Filipino. So everybody's a cousin. But how do you work that into like a storyline? How do you decide how, you know, how thorough to write the secondary characters?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think just for like, for my stories and the way that I like to write, family is always so important because that's what I can personally relate to. And just being able to draw from that personal experience is really important to me, no matter what I'm writing. So writing characters who are like you said, like they're close to their siblings or their cousins or their moms, cousins, kids, or like you said, everybody's a cousin. Like that's exactly how I grew up, and to be able to incorporate that in some way in the books that I write is something that feels really special to me, because like it kind of feels like, I mean, I hope this doesn't sound too hokey, but it kind of feels like a tribute to my family in a way and how they raised me and how they showed me how much they loved me. But I think it also helps the stories and the characters that I write feel a little bit more complete and real. I mean, the main characters draw a lot of love and support in the stories that I write from the relatives, like no matter if they're like doing really well in life or if they're going through something awful, that family support and that family involvement that helps them feel more genuine to me when I write them because it's rooted in real life. And I always think that I'm going to write family as a big part of anything I work on. I don't know. I hope that makes sense. I don't know.
No, I think it makes total sense because I just, you know, as I'm reading it, I just feel like any of those characters could easily have like their own story. And I don't feel like you see that a lot in, you know, standalone romances. Sometimes they'll just be like a character that's there, but I just feel like the world is so like well-rounded, if that comes out right.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I'm so glad you feel that way. Cause some, I don't know if other people who are writing, like they feel like I have like, does this character, do they seem relatable? Does it seem like a real person? Do they seem like a, you know, a one-dimensional whatever in the background who is just there? And you, cause you don't want anything you write to come off that way. You want it to come off, like you said, well-rounded and real and relatable. So I'm so glad you think that. Thank you.
I love your families, even like in Simmer Down, I love Lemon. Like even your animals, I love them. But yeah, no, I just, it's one of my favorite things about your books, just how the families, they seem so real. And just like, I see little bits of, even though, you know, I'm mostly white, just like a little tiny bit of me is Filipino. But even my Filipino cousins, like we would always joke, like everybody's a cousin. Like we don't actually know who we're related to because everybody's a cousin.
Right. Yeah. I love that it means you feel that way because that's, you're exactly right. Like every time I go visit that side of my family, you know, we're calling each other Ading and Manang and we're like, well, okay, who is does it really matter? Like, we don't, you're actually like my third cousin, but who cares? Like, you're family and we love you and we see each other. And yeah, exactly what you said. Yeah.
I love this. So which character reminds you of yourself? What attributes from the characters are inspired by the people you know?
Yeah. So I think Emmy definitely from Faker, because we have the same background and also like our work histories and our family histories, and some of my side characters' personalities in Faker, like specifically in the tool distribution workplace, they were based on my coworkers from that job, but I didn't I didn't reveal any like personal information. It's just like composite characteristics from people that I pulled from that old job. And I also really relate to Nikki and Simmer Down specifically because of the experience of losing a parent. Like one of Nikki's biggest struggles in the story is figuring out how to properly grieve the loss of her dad. And like for me, so I lost my mom last year, and I can totally relate to that feeling of not knowing if you're doing enough to remember the person you lost, or, you know, like you're worrying that you're thinking too much about them and you're not like living your life the way you should be, or you're having a moment when you miss that person so much that you don't know, like, if you're ever going to be able to cope with the pain. It's just all of this stuff that you struggle with when you're grieving and you're going through loss. And along the way in the story, in Simmer Down, Nikki realizes that like there's really no right way to grieve, and you should just focus on what feels right for you. And Callum, her love interest, kind of helps her realize that as their relationship deepens. And that was actually like one of the most beautiful parts of the relationship to me, like how he helps her get to that point. Because before that in the book, she was so closed off from everyone other than her mom. And after losing her dad, and when she lets herself get close to Callum, he helps her realize that it's okay to miss her dad. It's okay to cry if you're sad. It's okay to feel happy even after he's gone. And so that whole process of like writing and revising Simmer Down, I could relate so much to what Nikki was going through. And it felt kind of cathartic in a way, just to work on a book where the main character was going through a similar grieving and loss process. I don't know if that makes sense. And sorry, I didn't mean to get like super depressing, but like that's something that I could relate in Simmer Down.
I think it came across so well in the book. Like it just felt so real and like heavy, but at the same time like really heartwarming to see how her character changed throughout the book. And there's another book that like it reminded me a lot, like the grief process and how, you know, the book just seemed like a like tribute in a way. And it was Helen Hong's The Bride Test. Like that's it, it had the same feeling to me like as I was reading it.
Oh my gosh, that means so much. Thank you for saying that. I loved that book. Yeah, you could definitely, yeah, and you could totally feel like what she was trying to convey in that, in the whole story. And that was definitely, like it was weird because I thought of the concept for Simmer Down before my mom had gotten sick and before she passed away. So it was kind of like weird to write something and then have all this stuff unfold in real life. And then here I am like, going back to this book, and I mean, maybe that would be a weird, you know, thing for other people to do. But like I said, I feel like it was just really cathartic and therapeutic to have this thing that I was working on that like, I had a character who was going through the same thing I was going through, even though like, I'm not Nikki, she's not a real person. Yeah, it just felt like, I don't know, maybe because I write things for a living, that's how I process things. So that's how I find it relatable to me. Hopefully that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it does. And especially, you know, to bring some more lighthearted into the conversation, the moments where she's at the beach, yeah. Like, you know, remember her dad and then things happen.
Right, yeah, and that was kind of how, that's exactly how, like real life worked for me. Not, I wasn't going to nude beaches and seeing naked hot guys. Like that wasn't the case. But like, I just mean that, you know, you would be going through something in your real life and then like you know, you'd go out and to the grocery store, something funny would happen, or like my brother would call me and we'd laugh about something. So you're just trying to show the whole like process, like you're grieving, you're going through loss, but also like you're living your life too. So there are going to be moments of like laughter and levity and in between your grieving.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just like remembering all these moments in the book and I just, yeah, I love them so much.
Oh, thank you for saying, you guys are amazing. Thank you for saying such nice things. Thank you.
But speaking of the steamy beach scene, would you ever consider writing like a dual point of view? Because I think that was one of the moments in the book that I was just like, okay, I wonder what he's thinking. Like,
I would love to do a dual POV story. And I'm actually working on something that has a dual perspective. And that's been really fun to go back and forth between the main character, the female main character and what she's going through and like the male main character. And obviously I'm not a man, I'm not going to pretend I know what it's like to be a man or to think how they think, but in the context of the story that I'm writing, it's been really fun to like, you know, explore like, oh, he's probably not overthinking this. He probably just thinks she's really hot in that moment or so, you know, like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's kind of funny because I tend to gravitate towards dual point of view books. But when I was reading Faker and Simmer Down, like I actually completely forgot that they weren't, because I loved them so much and I was so drawn in, because especially after my husband's surgery, he went through like a 2-week period where he just wanted to read romance, because my husband reads romance occasionally.
Oh my God.
And he was like, well, I want to read a dual point of view. And I was like this close to having him read Simmer Down. And then I was like, wait, it's not. I just completely forgot because I loved it so much. And you just get so drawn into like Nikki's head that like it didn't even register to me for like a minute. I was like, wait.
I love that. And I take that as a huge compliment as from somebody who prefers dual POV. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I think what I'm working on right now, hopefully it's a complete book that's not the huge mess that it is right now. Hopefully it'll be nice to have something where you can see, you know, the main character going through what she's going through, and then you get the insight into what the male main character is doing too. And hopefully I can keep you charmed with those books too.
I'm very excited because I do like, you know, I love those, but I love your books as they are now. And even so, I felt like I knew what was in his head, even though we weren't actually in his head.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for saying that, because I was hoping that there would be moments throughout the story where the reader would be like, oh, well, he's obviously, this is what he thinks. This is how he's feeling. And she's just, you know, so wrapped up in her own doubt and insecurity that she can't see it, but it's so obvious. So I'm so glad that you saw that, you noticed that.
So now let's go to a round of book recommendations. This is an opportunity for you to share with the audience what they should read next. What is your all-time favorite romance?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I don't have one, because it would be impossible to have one. So I have a few, if that's okay. And I think, Laura, you and I have talked about these books before, so I'm sorry if you're like super bored with me talking about these books. But one of my all-time favorites is A Good Night's Sleep by Stephanie Simpson. And that is a British contemporary romance that's the enemies to lovers trope between two neighbors who live like right next to each other. They share a wall and they just hate each other, but they both find each other like super physically attractive. So it's just them like navigating their hate and their like the instant sexual tension they have with each other. So that's, I highly recommend that one. Another one I love is Not Suitable for Work by Sky McDonald. And that is a workplace romance set in Nashville. And it's these two coworkers and they're competing for the same job. And the female main character definitely harbors a lot more animosity toward the male main character than he does for her, but there's tons of tension and tons of banter and a lot of steam. I love that book so, so much. There's a British rom-com called A Girl Like You by Gemma Burgess. And it's about a woman who falls in love with her flatmate, who's a total ladies' man, who's trying to teach her how to be like just this amazing single woman who like dates all these guys and just doesn't let people get to her. And it just like, when I was reading it, it felt like I was watching a movie. It's so, so good. So those are probably my three all-time favorite romance books.
I love this. Can I just say how hard it is for me? Because normally when Laura and I talk, it's for book club, for her Patreon book club. And, and I'm so used to like logging into Goodreads as we're talking and typing things. And it's so hard for me not to do that as we're talking. But I will say, hard agree, I love Sky. I actually read Not Suitable for Work right after Faker last year. I read them back to back. And it was so nice to have two like five-star reads packed in together. It was delightful.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, I should say Sky is a friend of mine, but that's not why I read her books. I read her books because she's an amazing writer and she writes such good, steamy, heartfelt romance. And I'm so glad you liked that book. I'm so, so glad.
Loved it.
Yeah, follow
What is a book you've read this year and that you just can't stop talking about? And bonus points if you've read it during quarantine or once the world fell apart.
Okay, yes. That's pretty much all the books I've been reading, essentially. So one book that I just absolutely love is An Irresistible Force by Rosanna Leo. And she's a Canadian romance author and she's amazing. She's written so many great books. And so Irresistible Force is book number two in her Handyman series. And that series is about three brothers who host a home renovation series that's based out of Toronto, I think. So it's total HGTV vibes. All of the brothers are like so hot. Like it's amazing. And Irresistible Force is an enemies to lovers romance. Again, sorry, I feel like a broken record, but like this is just what I'm surviving on right now. And it's what's keeping me going right now. And the main characters are Eli. He's the middle brother. He's the landscape pro. And Bernie, she is the female main character who is protesting the site of their most recent renovation. So right off the bat, they're just get off on the wrong foot. They're on completely different sides, but there's an instant attraction between them. And it's an incredibly steamy book, but it's also really, really sweet. And it deals with a lot of, or a couple of serious topics like bullying and sexual harassment, which I think is really, really cool to see that in a romance. But yeah, I think if you love enemies to lovers, you're gonna love this book. So that is one that I read. And it's so good. I can't recommend it enough.
I've never heard of that one. And I'm like so excited to like go look it up.
You had me at Toronto. I was like, HGTV, Toronto books. And I'm like, you had me there.
I'm so glad. It's so good. She also has the first book in the series is A Good Man, which is also really good. But I read that a couple years ago. And that's the oldest brother and his romance with a woman whose house they're renovating. It's so good. Yeah, like I can't, like you said, Laura, like it's Toronto, it's HGTV, inspo, it's hot brothers, like it's amazing.
You had me at protesting, because I love when there's like a protesting vibe, because one of my favorites from last year was The Rebel King, I think that's what it's called, by Kennedy Ryan.
Yeah.
And I did not realize how much I love like that kind of stuff in romance until that book.
Yeah, I feel like it just really kicks things off. Like, bam, instant conflict, instant tension. You know that they're going to get into it and they're going to just like, there's going to be some, you know, words exchanged and then they don't like each other, but it's going to evolve into something super hot. And I cannot love it enough. It's so good.
I love this. So tell us where we can find you online.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at author Sarah S. I also have an author website, sarahsmithbooks.com. And I'm pretty active on social media. So I'm always, if anybody wants to say hi or come chat with me, please do. I'll talk about almost anything because, you know, the world is crazy right now. So I think we all need to like reach out and be there for each other. So yeah, come talk to me if you guys want to talk to me.
Thank you, Sarah, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. You guys are so fun. It was such a pleasure to talk with you both.
And thank you, Kalisa.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, or rate and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to join a romance loving community? Want weekly book recommendations, monthly author Q&As, and book recommendation meetups? Make new friends? Then join our Patreon community. To sign up, please follow the links in the show notes. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.